Let me open the 51st session of the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Metaphysics and welcome you all in Dubno. And let me start with introducing you the participants of the meeting. Closer, please. Pavel Alexeyev.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Lachezar Avramov, Martina Dubnochkova, she excused herself, Hartmut Fuss, Richard Hall-Wilton, Nikolai Kargilov, Maciej Kozak, he is a new member, so let me welcome you especially as a new member of our club. He has just joined us at the last session of the Scientific Council. Pavel Mikula, he excused. Alexei Kuzmin. Pavel Mikula, he excused himself. Dénes Lajos Nagy, that's me. Toby Perring. Raffaele Saldino. And Derek Sanga. Invited experts are Sasha Joffe, Shani Kennedy, Jerzy Kulda, and ex officio members appointed by GINR are Gheorghe Adam, Pavel Apel, he is not here yet, or I don't know whether he will be, Oleg Belov, our scientific secretary, Alexander Beyushkin, Mikhail Khnatich, Yevgeny Krasavin, Zhenya, okay,
yes.
Thanks, okay, and Boris Charkov. And let me also welcome the members of the GINR Directorate, Professor Sorin, Professor Itkis, Professor Matveev, of course, the Director General, we call him only Director, Richard Jednitsky, and Boris Gikal. So, this is the agenda of our meeting. You have probably seen it. So, the next presentation will come from me. As usual, it is the implementation of the recommendations of the previous PAC meeting. So, and this exercise will be especially short because, as you may remember, at our last meeting, there was actually, in some sense, nothing special that was really a routine meeting. We had several recommendations, and the Scientific Council adopted all of them. I will go very quickly through this. Let me mention, nevertheless, that we had three more recommendations which did not affect directly the Scientific Council, so it did not need the approval of the Scientific Council. I won't waste the time by enumerating them. You may find it at the Indico. You have probably downloaded it. There is a list of these kind of recommendations. They were also implemented and will be responded at this meeting also properly. So once again, this was the agenda. I don't think you can read it of our last meeting. Let me mention the highlights. Reports and proposals on projects and themes approved for completion in 2019 and proposals on the new themes and projects. Secondly, the development of the conceptual design of a new advanced neutron source at GINR. Third, development of the SOLCRIS Structural Research Laboratory at the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center. And finally, inelastic neutron scattering at IBR2 reactor, current state and further prospects. We'll come back to this issue today once again. So first, there was a report on the SEAM development of the IBR2 facility with a complex of cryogenic neutron moderators and justification for its extension for 2022. It was given by Professor Vinogradov. I would not explain all the figures here. The detailed statistics on the reactor power and current status was given. Then the beams you can see on the web at this URL. Third, a new stationary radiation monitoring system has been put into regular operation. Dosimetric control and radiation monitoring meet the modern requirements of the safety rules and regulation. And finally, manufacturing of a reserve reactor modulator, MR3R, was completed. The complex beamline can be seen in this figure, and the six major projects and their status on the right-hand side. And the response of the Scientific Council to our recommendation was that it noted the importance of activities within the SEAM development of the IBR2 facility with a complex of cryogenic neutron moderators and project construction of a complex of cryogenic moderators at the IBR2 facility, and supported their extension for the years 20 to 22. Then a proposal for opening a new SEAM development of the conceptual design of a new advanced neutron source at GINR was given by Professor Shmitsov. Again, I don't go into detail because today you will hear it in much more detail by Professor Shmitsov. The Scientific Council noted the significant progress achieved in developing a technical justification for the concept of a new neutron source at GINR and supported the recommendations made by the PAC on the opening of the proposed SEAM for the years 20 to 22. At the same time, special attention should be paid towards developing the scientific program for the new source in the field of condensed matter physics and nuclear physics, as well as to defining a management structure and time schedule specifying milestones and expected results of this new SEAM. As concerning the GINR Solaris cooperation, PAC here the status and developments of this collaboration to develop the joint facility for structural research using synchrotron X-rays and the proposal for opening a new SEAM development of the Solaris Structural Research Laboratory at the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center presented by Norbert Kucherka. The parameters of the existing facility and those for the new instruments proposed to be built allow one to estimate the potential for their future scientific use. And very importantly, an interest has been expressed by several organizations from GINR member states. The response of the Scientific Council was that it took note of the status of the cooperation between GINR and the Solaris National Synchrotron Center, Krakow, Poland, focusing on the development of a joint facility for structural research using synchrotron X-rays. The Scientific Council supported the recommendation of the PAC on opening of the proposed SEAM for the years 20 to 22 and took note of the interest of several organizations from GINR member states in taking part in this activity. The status report on the project, the system for neutron operando monitoring and diagnostics of materials and interfaces for electrochemical energy storage devices at the IBR2 reactor was given by Professor Avdeyev. Some characteristic figures of this presentation you can see here. The Scientific Council was satisfied with the progress of the project and supported the PAC's recommendation on its continuation. As concerning the SEAM, biomedical and radiation genetic studies using different types of ionizing radiation given by Professor Mitzin, and the project further development of methods, technologies, schedule modes and delivery of radio therapy was presented to the PAC last time. Again, I won't waste the time with reading all this text. I read only the response of the Scientific Council. It, together with the PAC, was pleased with the results achieved by DL and his medico-technical complex, both in the field of clinical research on proton radiotherapy applications for the treatment of different diseases, and in the field of radiobiology. The Scientific Council supported extension of the discuss theme and project for the years 20 to 22. As concerning the radiogene project, the presentation was given by Professor Afanasieva. The PAC noted the challenge of the situation in research, that also there was a vast amount of evidence for radiation-induced mutations in diverse biological systems. There was no exact evidence for radiation-induced germ cells mutations that could cause genetic disease in human population. The Scientific Council supported extension of this project also to the coming years 20 to 22. The SEAM methods, algorithms and software for modeling physical systems, mathematical processing and analysis of experimental data was given by Professor Adam. He emphasized the exceptional role of the Govorun supercomputer, big data analytics and quantum computing, and also reported on the MMCP conferences. The Scientific Council appreciated the LIT's efforts to achieve development and upgrade of the GINR telecommunication and network infrastructure, modernization of the MICC engineering infrastructure, increase in performance of computing resources and data storage systems. The Scientific Council supported the recommendations of the PAC for nuclear physics and of the PAC for condensed matter physics to extend the SEAM information and computing infrastructure of GINR and the MICC project for the years 20 to 23. The SEAM and project research on cosmic matter on the Earth and space, research on biological and geochemical specifics of the early Earth was also presented to the PAC last time, and the Scientific Council again agreed with the PAC recommendation on extension of this concluding theme and project for the years 20 to 22. As concerning inelastic scattering, we will come back to this issue today once more. The PAC here is interest an overview of the current trends in neutron spectroscopy worldwide presented by Professor Jiří Kulda. Again, some figures from his presentation presenting the development of neutron sources and in comparison also of photon sources. And the Scientific Council welcomed the results of discussion of the inelastic neutron scattering instruments at IBR2 within the context of the current trends in neutron spectroscopy worldwide. Considering that the two spectrometers reviewed by the PAC are the only inelastic neutron scattering instruments available at GINR, the Scientific Council supported the development of new inelastic neutron scattering instruments and the FLMP's intention to present a proposal for opening a new project to further develop the two existing instruments. We will come back to this point today. And before concluding to this presentation. Let me congratulate to Professor Anatoly Belagurov. I'm not quite sure whether he is here. Oh, yeah. Hi, Anatoly. He completed, namely, his 75th year just yesterday. And an announcement in connection with that comes now for those who will be here the day after day after tomorrow. Me, unfortunately, no longer. There will be a special seminar devoted to Anatoly at the FNMP Conference Hall, third floor, and you can read the program of the seminar here. So, once again, congratulations, Anatoly, and all the best for the coming years, much success. And finally, this, okay, so thank you for your attention. Any questions to this presentation? So if it is not the case, then I think the floor is yours, Boris.
Dear Mr. Chairman, dear members of the committee, it's my honor and duty to give you information on the resolution of the session, of the last session of GNR Scientific Council, which took place in September 2019, and on the decision of GNR Committee of Plenipotentiaries in November 2019. Well, the last session of the Scientific Council took place in September. It was chaired by GNR Director Victor Matveev and co-chaired by the Professor Catalin Borcea from Romania. The agenda was very dense. It was opened by the director's report, then preparation of the draft strategic plan for the long-term development of GNR, the visit to the NICA Computing Center, the recommendation of PAX take at meetings in June, reports by young scientists, membership of the PAX, election of the directors of the Laboratory of High Energy Physics and Laboratory of Radiation Biology, and announcement of vacancies of position in the directorates of GNR laboratories, awards and prizes, and proposals for amendments to the regulation for the election of directorates and for the endorsed appointment of deputy directors of GNR laboratories, some organizational issues. The Council took note of the comprehensive report by DG Victor Matveev covering the recent achievements of GNR and its major research directions, the process in developing physics facilities within GNR's large progress, the decision on latest session of the GNR Committee of Plenipotentiaries, as well as events in GNR's international cooperation and in the field of training highly qualified scientific personnel. NICA. The Council supported the efforts of GNR Directorate towards construction of the basic configuration of the NICA complex, noting the completion of the main systems of the booster synchrotron and of the fabrication of the yoke of the solenoidal magnet for the MPD detector. The Council appreciated the first physics results produced by the BMATN experiment, this fixed target experiment, and the continued analysis of the data taken earlier in this experiment. And Council also noted the commissioning of the updated computer cluster of Laboratory of High Energy Physics to meet the challenges of the NICA complex. I will come to that point later. The Scientific Council took note of the holding at GNR on April 70th of the third joint meeting of MPD and BMN collaborations. It's a very important step forward because those collaborations are newly shaped and started really to operate, which covered the physics programs of the MPD and BMM experiments and progress in detectors, subsystems work, and in analysis of experimental data. That means both collaborations started to work actively. Council noted with satisfaction the opening of the experimental building of the factory of super heavy elements, so-called SHE factory, at the FLORAF laboratory on nuclear reaction, and the launching of the factory of main facility, the DC-280 cyclotron, the newly built cyclotron. The Scientific Council highly appreciated the scientific and technological quality of the realization of the project to build the DC-280 cyclotron and the participation of the most GNR member state. You can see here on the picture this great achievement, cyclotron DC-280. Scientific Council noted the holding at GNR in May 2019 of the International Symposium Present and Future of the Periodic Table of Chemical Elements, which attended by a representative of UNESCO, IUPAC and the IUPAP, together with eminent scientists from institutes and universities of GNR member state and other countries. It was really international. This symposium largely contributed to enhancing the awareness of the international community concerning GNR's achievements in the field of synthesis of superheavy elements. Council noted the commissioning of two new clusters of Baikal GVD gigaton volume detector under construction, the effective volume of which has now reached a quarter of cubic kilometer, and Scientific Council also noted the further development of the neutrino experiments at Kalinin Nuclear Power Station. Here you can see the optical model of the Baikal GVD. It's really a great achievement, and in this picture you can see that 2018 this three cluster were successfully installed, and last winter plus two new cluster have been installed. But what is important, extremely important, but parallel to the construction of the telescope, neutrino telescope, the first event were detected, and that means already the clusters started to deliver the scientific information. The Council took note of the broadening of international ties and prospects for cooperation with relevant ministers of Armenia, Poland, Cuba, as well as with the National Academy of Sciences of Belarus and Research Organization of Vietnam, the People's Republic of China, and Republic of Korea. It's very active international activities. Scientific Council supported the effort being taken by Directorate to train highly qualified scientific personnel. In particular, the Scientific Council welcomed the beginning of the operation of GNR of new dissertation councils on the basis of GNR's right to independently confer academic degrees in the Russian Federation. Implementation of this right will further attract young scientists from member states to GNR. And first dissertation are already defended in the respective council. The council congratulated GNR director Viktor Matveev for his comprehensive presentation and appreciated the emerging results which followed from choosing a good strategy and from selection of the coherent priorities which distinguish GNR as a world-class international scientific research organization. Scientific Council took note of the reports concerning the current preparation of the draft of strategic plan for the long-term development of GNR and its major section presented by the Dzhelepov Deputy Director Dmitry Naumov, for particle physics. The high energy physics laboratory deputy director Roman Tsenov, relativistic heavy ion physics and spin physics. Florov laboratory, the scientific secretary Alexander Karpov for nuclear physics and lower and intermediate energy. By Frank laboratory, the advisor Alexander Joffe for condensed matter physics. And the radiation biology, senior research Yelena Nasonova for radiobiology. And information technology represented by Nikolai Voitishin. It is very important, the consideration of the Scientific Council, the preparation of the draft strategic plan for long-term development of GNR. And the speakers informed the Council about the organization of the thematic subgroups, their work, the meetings, workshops, video conferences, etc., the membership of on new scientific research and experiments prepared and to be carried out over the period 2023-2030, that means in next 7 years period and beyond. Information was given on what scientific and technological goals to be achieved in this future, what kind of research infrastructure should be developed, and what the future needs for human resources will arise. The Scientific Council looks forward to discussing the draft document, which should also contain a strategy to increase the attractiveness of GNR priority activities to young people. In the next session of the Scientific Council in February, the draft of the strategic plan will be presented by the respective working group. Recommendation in connection with the PACS. The Scientific Council took note on the recommendation made by Program Advisory Committee at their meetings in June, as reported in this session by Itzhak Tsirui, Chair of the PAC for Particle Physics, Vice Director Mikhail Iktis on behalf of Marek Levitovich, Chair of PAC for Nuclear Physics, and Danish Knight, Chair of the PAC of our PAC for Condensed Matter Physics. And the Council requested the GNR Directorate to consider this recommendation while preparing the GNR topical plan of research international cooperation for year 2020. What has been done by the Directorate? The respective recommendations are documented in details and are in your in the minutes of our Program Advisory Committee. Very pleasant part of the scientific session of the Scientific Council, as usual, are the reports by young scientists, and the Council appreciated the reports by young scientists selected by by Program Advisory Committee for presentation at this session. Neutrino oscillation analysis and investigation of polystyrene fullerene nano composite. And this was presented by Lyudmila Kolupaeva from Gelepov Lab and Timur Tropin from the Frank Laboratory. The Scientific Council welcomed such selection reports in future. That means they appreciated very much the presentation by the young scientists. Now, a very sensitive point, the membership of the PAC. The Council appointed Maciej Kozak from Adam Mickiewicz University from Poland as a new member of our PAC for a term of 3 years. And the Council thanked the outgoing member Jan Waciski for his successful work in this PAC. On the proposal of the GNR Directorate presented by the Vice Director Richard Lidnitsky, the Council appointed Fung Quang Wang from University West Lafayette, USA, as a new member of PAC for particle physics for a term of 3 years, as usual, and the council thanked the outgoing member, Nun Shu, for his successful work in this PAC. Awards and prizes. The council congratulates Francis Halton from Wisconsin University of Medicine, USA, on the award of Bruno Pontecoro Prize for his leading role in the construction of the ice cube detector and experimental discovery of very high energy cosmic neutrinos. The council congratulated the winners of GNR annual prizes for best papers in the field of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. You see here the happy faces of all the people who have won the prizes. The council congratulated the director of Evgeny Krasavin, by that time he was the director of the lab, on the award of the diploma of Dr. Honoris Causa of the National University of Mongolia. And it was presented in the session, you see here, Professor Evgeny Krasavin. Elections and announcement of vacancies in the directorates of GNR laboratories. In the election of the director of the Wechsler and Baldwin Laboratory of High Energy Physics, the nominated candidate, that means the elections took place and there was a nominated candidate, Dr. Alexander Vodopyanov, but he did not obtain the required majority of the votes. And as proposed by the GNR director, Viktor Matveev, the scientific council, will announce the new elections at the session in February of 2021. That means in 1 year. The new elections will be announced. The scientific council elected Alexander Bugay as a director of Laboratory of Radiation Biology for a term of 5 years. The Scientific Council thanked Professor Evgeny Krasavin for his successful tenure as director of this laboratory for many, many years. The Council announced the vacancies of position of deputy directors and the endorsement of appointment will take place at the next session of the Scientific Council in February 2020. Well, rules and procedures of the Scientific Council. The Council discussed the amendments proposed by GNR DG Viktor Matveev on the regulations for elections of directors and of endorsement appointments of deputy directors of our laboratories, which are part of the rules of procedure of the GNR Scientific Council, and decided to continue their consideration in the next session. That means this process was launched and it will be continued in the next session. Appreciations. Scientific Council congratulated Wechsler and Baldwin Laboratory of High Energy Physics on commissioning the NICO Computer Center. This is a landmark event on the way to realizing the NICO complex, an important element of this its research infrastructure. Of course, big project cannot be without the computer center. The Scientific Council thanked Vincenzo Cavazzini, coordinator of the Bruno Pontecoro Center of the Physics Department of the University of Pisa, Italy, for his report, scientific report, on the status of this center and future collaboration with GNR, and wished the Bruno Pontecoro Center success in its activity. Now I come to the session of the Committee of Plenipotentials. This regular session of plenipotentials of governments of the GNR member state was held in Hanoi, Vietnam, in November 2019. It was chaired by the representative of the Russian Federation, Minister Mikhail Kotikov. You see here in the center of this picture. And the very dense agenda started with the director's report, then draft of the budget for GNR for coming year, year 2020. and the respective contribution of the member state for the period 2021-2023, the draft budget for the use of special purpose funds of the Russian Federation, and GNR on the construction of exploitation of Nika complex of superconducting rings for heavy iron collider, colliding beams, and for year 2020. Draft strategic plan of long-term development, membership of GNR Scientific Council, measures being taken for staffing of our institute, and scientific reports by Vietnamese colleagues. I begin with the director's report, and the committee took note on the report presented by DG Viktor Matveev on the progress and implementation of the GNR plan for research and international cooperation for last year, and approved the recommendation of the session of the Scientific Council, previous sessions, and GNR topical plan for research and international cooperation for coming year, for this year, 2020, and GNR budget for 2020. Director's report. The committee commended the work done by GNR Directorate in implementing the mega science NICA complex. It's commissioned the Directorate to establish an international committee for the analysis of the expenditure and schedule for implementing the NICA complex project, and submit the results of the comprehensive analysis of the project's implementation with recommendations to the Directorate at the committee session in March 2020. And it is the first meeting of this committee, international committee, will take place in February. The committee endorsed the plans of first experiments at the factor of superheavy elements, and committee took note of the successful continuation of work on construction of Baikal deep sea neutrino telescope, and it welcomed the preparation of the draft agreement between the Russian Ministry of Science and Education and GNR on cooperation and joint work on the construction of Baikal GVD neutrino telescope. That means that Russia and GNR work together on that, and on participation in experimental studies in the field of high energy neutrino astrophysics, neutrino astronomy, and neutrino physics. The committee acknowledged the new results achieved in the condensed matter physics studies with the IBR2 spectrometer complex, as well as the activity for development of concept of the new first generation neutron source for GNR. Today in our session we have the presentation related to this topic. Well, the committee took note of the information about the decision of the government of the Republic of Uzbekistan to resume full participation in GNR and its readiness to fully implement its obligation in accordance with the GNR Charter, as well as about the appointment of the plenipotentiary of Uzbekistan to GNR. It was recommended that the plenipotentiary of Uzbekistan submit for consideration of the committee session in March 2020 proposal on the financial conditions for resuming full participation of the Republic of Uzbekistan in GNR. It's a very positive step forward for Uzbekistan, and it is very well received new information. The committee commissioned the GNR Directorate to study the possibility of associate membership in GNR. I stress this new status, the associate membership in GNR, and to submit relevant proposal for consideration at the next session of the committee for preparation of this draft document, these rules of procedures or term of reference for that, the draft document, a working group of representatives of Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Kazakhstan, Poland, Romania, and Russia will be established, and a CERN representative will be invited as a consultant. You know that CERN has this status of the associated membership, and therefore will share experience with us. The committee took note of the strengthening of partnership with Germany, with Mexican state, with Serbia. It endorsed in particular the signing of the roadmap for cooperation with Ministry of Education, Science, Technological Development of Republic of Serbia, entry and accession of Mexican partners to the NICA project. The Committee of Plenary Potentials welcomed the enactment of GNR, of new dissertation councils, on the basis of GNR right of independently conferred academic degrees. And committee also took note of the launch of the specialized international competition for GNR fellows, which contributes to further attracting young scientists to GNR from member states and other countries. Based on the report presented by Mikhail Vasiliev about the financial issue, he is the deputy head of the GNR Finance and Economy Office, the committee resolved first to approve the GNR budget for the year 2020 with a total income and expenditure amounting to 218 million US dollar, as well as the scale of the contribution and the contribution of the GNR member state for the coming year 2020. To determine the provisional volumes of the GNR budget for the years 21, 22, and 23, an amount 212 million, 270 million, and 222 million, as well as the provisional amounts of the member states' contribution. Now, the special attention was focused on the financial issue, and the committee approved the budget for the use of the special purpose funds from the Russian Federation, this contribution from Russian Federation, additional contribution for NICA, allocated in accordance with the agreement between the government, Russian government, and GNR on the construction and exploitation of the NICA complex. Including under realization of the corresponding event in the National Project Science, and for the year 2020 in the amount of 5,003,000,000 ruble. The committee heard and discussed the report, draft strategic plan for the long-term development of GNR, presented by the GNR DG Viktor Matveev and Vice Director myself. It commissioned the GNR Directorate to send the plan for consideration of the to the Plenary Potentials until the 1st March of 2020. That means almost in 1 month, the respective working group has to send the material for this draft to the member of the committee. Membership in the Scientific Council. Based on the report, change proposed to the membership of the GNR Scientific Council presented by DG Viktor Matveev, the committee took note of the inclusion in the membership of the GNR Scientific Council of Behzod Yoldashev from Academy of Science Uzbekistan, appointed by the plenipotentiary of Uzbekistan, and invited Ursula Basler from Aix-en-Petrois, France, and CNRS, France, and CERN. She is at the moment the president of the CERN Council, and Anne-Isabelle Etienne Vray from IRFU, Saclay, France, to become the new members of GNR Scientific Council. Regarding the report measures being taken for staffing of GNR Directorate presented by Viktor Matveev, the committee took note of the information by the director on the search for the promising candidates to be recruited as members of the GNR Directorate with a view to rejuvenating it and getting more prepared for active work to implement the ambitious goals of the 7 years plan for the development of GNR 2070-2073, including the context of the preparation to strategic plan for the long-term development until 2030. That means in the current 7 years period and the next. And committee accepted the proposal by the GNR Directorate to put into practice the scheduling of the election of the GNR Director at the committee March session of the year preceding the year of completion of the office of the current director. It means to give the newly elected the candidate to have a transition period to get involved in the activities of the institute. Well, the committee supported the proposal by GNR director to invite the first deputy minister of science and higher education of Russian Federation, Grigory Trubnikov, to the position of the first vice director of GNR, with the assignment to him of the mandate of and responsibility for preparing the program for future development of the institute, for heading the management of the NICA mega science project, and for implementing the coordination function of the GNR administrative director until his approval in this position in accordance with the GNR rules by the GNR committee in March 2020. And committee took note of the proposal by the GNR DG on the readiness of the GNR Directorate to promote the nomination of Grigory Trubnikov for the position of the director of GNR in the next election of the director, taking into account his knowledge and experience, as well as of the statement of the plenipotentiary of the government of Russia, Mr. Mikhail Kotyukov, about his readiness in accordance with our charter to nominate Grigory Trubnikov to the position of the director in the next election of the director. Scientific reports were presented by two Vietnamese colleagues about the Vietnam Academy of Science and Technology today and tomorrow, presented by Tran Tan Duan, Vice President of Vietnam Academy of Science, and current status R&D of atomic energy field and the project of research reactor in Vietnam, presented by Tran Chi Tan, President of Vietnam Vinatom. The committee appreciated the proposal of the GNR Directorate to establish a working group for developing a plan of cooperation between Vietnam Academy of Science and Technology, Vinatom, and GNR to support the project of the new research reactor in Vietnam. Appreciation. The committee expressed gratitude to the organizers and to the government of Vietnam for the high quality preparation and conduct of this session in Hanoi. It was really very well organized and very efficient, and the respective appreciation came. Here I stop my presentation and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Boris, for this really very informative presentation on the Scientific Council and the Committee of Plenipotentiaries meetings. I wonder whether you have some immediate questions because I guess that a more detailed discussion we may postpone partly to our meeting with to the closed session meeting with the General Directory tomorrow morning, and afterwards to the general discussion. But nevertheless, if you have some immediate questions or even comments, then please, you are welcome. I don't see hands raising, neither you. Then in this case, let me thank you once again, Boris. And let me ask Professor Svitzov to proceed with his progress report on developing a concept for a new neutron source for FNNP. So the floor is yours.
Good morning, dear ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman. I would like to inform the Program Advisory Committee about the recent progress achieved since our last meeting in June of the previous year. The main result which we have got since June last year was the final report from the State Research Institute of Power Engineering of Power Engineering at Moscow, Dolezhal Institute of Research and Development, concerning estimation of the two options of the DNS-4 advanced neutron source for Dumna. And this report contains the final statement concerning the option which we supposed to have, the option with a proton accelerator driven subcritical system based on plutonium fuel. The final decision of NICIET was that this project is based on horizontal positioning of the fuel assemblies. And this horizontal positioning caused a lot of technical problems, and all these problems were carefully estimated in this report. And these problems concerning this horizontal allocation of the fuel assemblies of this accelerator-driven facility is causing a lot of research and development works. And this research, which this unnecessary research and development works, which are necessary for the licensing. And this research and development works includes the irradiation of the fuel assemblies in a dedicated facility with sufficient neutron flux density in order to obtain the fuel burn-up, which will be necessary to get final license. And the final decision of the NICIET was careful, but no doubtful. The technical project, the technical part of the reactor part of the project with accelerator-driven system is more complicated compared to another project. And the accelerator cost is an additional one. Accelerator problems and all the problems is just an additional part to this version, to this option of our future progress. So our final decision in the laboratory, we had several meetings, couple of meetings, and we, during these open discussions, we have canceled, at the moment, we have canceled the option with the accelerator-driven subcritical core as a prototype as a basic for our future DNS-4 source. So we stopped finally with a reactor version without any accelerator, pulsed reactor based on neptunium fuel. At the same time, when we have prepared and when we have this result from NICIET, the joint meeting with the Presidium of the Science and Technology Council of the State Corporation Rosatom and the GNR Directorate and leaders of GNR have been prepared. And we, of course, proposed our project of the advanced neutron source as a potential topic for this meeting, for discussion on this meeting. And what we have started? We have started the preparation. This is a December 11, Moscow, the headquarters of the Rosatom Corporation, and our Director General, Academician Matveev, is giving introductory talk in this meeting, and the head of the corporation, Rosatom Lihachev, also gave a talk here. And as a separate talk at this meeting was a talk about our future advanced neutron source, which was given by Academician Aksyonov and in co-authorship with our partner from Nikiet Institution, Alexander Lopatkin. And the information about this event is available here. GNR News, this is a page sending you to this information. Now this is a, and I can tell that our report was heard with interest and was supported by all the participants of this meeting. The main result, which we have prepared, this is a signing of the final agreement between GNR and Rosatom Corporation, this photo shows you. I will concentrate on our time schedule for the construction of the new source, which we developed in preparation for this meeting. This time schedule was not finally approved at the top level. But I can tell that this time schedule is already negotiated at the level of, on the level of a participating institution. Now, I beg your pardon for not giving this this table in English because it's too complicated terms, and I will try it. It's just first public announcement of this document which we have prepared. So I will just give the brief explanation with marking the milestones in this time schedule. The milestones are marked in dark. The first page and the second page, milestones marked in dark. And I will give you general information. I return back to the first page. The time scale here, year 2018 and year 2033. Not until the end of the project. This first page, just for your understanding, I'm pointing out these details. And next page, the time scale is a little bit expanded from 2018 to the end of the project, 2036. Now I will go through the milestones to give you these key points of the project, and then I will return back to the details and another point. Next 3 years, next 2 years, I would say, next 2 years, we will spend in going further with the selected version of the project, with the selected option of our DNS-4 source. And the final result will be the conceptual design project of this new source, including the civil engineering design of the project. That means we will have the cost estimation of the project. Going a little bit ahead, I would like to inform you that during this period, we also prepared our contribution to the GNR strategic plan on neutron research in condensed matter and neutron physics. And we made some cost estimations within this document. It's also accessible through the INDICO site of the GNR. And again, going a little bit ahead, I would like to inform the PEC members on condensed matter physics that this document we consider as a draft version of the white paper of DNS-4 source. This was our home task from the PEC on condensed matter physics to prepare such a white paper document. So this is a draft version of this white paper, which will be more developed until our next meeting in June.
And in this document, we made a rough estimation of the cost of construction of our new neutron source. We used two approaches. First approach was based on a construction cost of Munich reactor, FRM2. And we took official data about the constructional cost of Munich reactor, and we corrected these numbers to official inflation numbers in Germany since that period, and we have got, from our point of view, it was the upper estimation of the constructional cost of the facility with such parameters. And this upper limit is 510 mega-euros, 510 million euros. And another approach was taken on the basis of the contractional cost of IBR2 reactor. It was rather complicated because IBR2 reactor was put into operation in, the first criticality was in 1977. So it's quite a long time ago. Nevertheless, we have the formal basis to make the comparison. We took the official data from our general designer at that moment, and this data were expressed in million rubles of the Soviet Union. And we took the official rate of the Soviet ruble, which the Central Bank of Russia still is keeping and publishing every day. Every day it's changing the official because Russia is holding the obligations of the Soviet Union in some commercial points, and the official rate of the Soviet ruble is still supported. So we use this data. And we also took into account, and we expressed this data, we transferred this data into US dollars, and we took the inflation rate for the US dollars. This data is also publicly available on the corresponding website. All this procedure is described in this document. And finally, we have got the estimation. If we today would like to construct the IBR2, the constructional cost from our estimation should be 180 million US dollars. So we consider it as a lower limit because, of course, the structure of the expenses is quite different. In the Soviet Union when IBR2 was constructed and modern times, but we can consider it as a lower limit. So at the moment, in this document, we have estimations between 200, in rough, between 200 and 500 mega euros or mega dollars. But finally, we should answer this question at this moment, in the year about 2003. And at that moment, the first milestone which we have in our time schedule is the decision of our institute, the decision of the Joint Institute about construction of this basic facility. So this is the first and major, for us, it's a major milestone because it's the first one. And during that time, we have to prepare as careful as possible all the documents to support this final decision. Next milestone is very close. This is a milestone which is dedicated to the fuel, the material which we are planning to use for the reactor fuel, to the use of neptunium. It also should be permission for usage of this material for our next fuel. And next milestone is also close. It's a license for allocation. At that moment, until 26, we have to prepare the pool of documents supporting the area for allocating this new facility and supporting the necessary design documents, providing our ability to allocate our facility at this territory within the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research. During all this time, we will have the research and development work concerning the technology of fuel preparation, manufacturing, testing the fuel assemblies, and designing and testing the prototypes of the scientific instruments at the future source. General state expertise, next milestone in the end of 2029. General state expertise, starting of the purchase of manufacturing and purchase of the equipment, and beginning of 30s, not beginning 23, 24, start of the production of fuel elements and fuel assemblies. And the final step is licensing for operation year 2036 and preceding these stages, first criticality and energy startup in year 2035 and 36 preceding this. I can tell that this detailed roadmap was already discussed with our partners at Rosatom, and we will continue the discussion and hope for this roadmap will be finally approved by our governing bodies. I'm talking about the GNR Directorate and Rosatom. At least the part of this roadmap which is finished by this milestone decision. Of course, this roadmap will be a little bit expanded, and we'll have more details in that. So this is our main task for today, and our next steps will be meetings for this year, for this specific year, 2020. We are planning next month. We are planning the meetings with our chief designer institution, with Nikiet, and with All Russia Institute of Inorganic Materials, Bochvar Institute, the main responsible for the fuel production, about continuation of our work. We are preparing to sign the contracts with these organizations in order to move forward on this roadmap. At the moment, I cannot tell any details about this, our future plans, because it will depend on this negotiation procedure. So here I'm finishing with this roadmap and informing you that the draft version of the white paper concerning the new source is accessible at our INDICO, GNR INDICO website in the section dedicated to the strategic planning of the GNR. Research for the future years in the corresponding section of neutron physics. And the content of this document includes the present status and trends in the field of neutron scattering research and open problems where we are planning and will occupy, GNR can occupy as a unique niche with a new source. In this document, we are demonstrating the broad neutron landscape and possible scenarios for development of this neutron landscape and our place and place of our new source on this landscape for the future in different scenarios. And we are informing about the preliminary concepts of concept of our neutron source, the status of the project, this roadmap, and a small paragraph is also dedicated to the risk assessment. It will be expanded in future options, and other points also are given in this document. Maybe that's all which I would like to tell you for this moment, and thank you for your attention. I'm ready to answer your questions.
Thank you very much for this very important and excellent presentation. And before asking for questions, let me recall what I have just mentioned at the beginning of my presentation, namely that there was a comment at our last meeting, which was not necessary to bring to the Scientific Council, and it was our recommendation: the PAC considers the human and material resources requested by the laboratory to be adequate to the objectives identified and the results expected upon completion of the SEAM. The PAC supports this proposal and recommends the opening of a new SEAM, development of the conceptual design of a new advanced neutron source at GINR for the years 20 to 22. The PAC requests the SEAM leaders to define management structure, clear deliverables, milestones, and a time schedule for this SEAM. The PAC expects progress reports from the FLMP Directorate and the chairman of the working subgroup for condensed matter and neutron physics at each PAC meeting. Now, I have the feeling that we can fully appreciate, at least from the side of the FLMP Directorate, the implementation of this recommendation. So thank you really very, very much once again, Professor Schwitzow. And now the floor is yours for questions and comments.
Thank you, and transfer your congratulations to the team, not to me, to the whole team in the laboratory and outside working on this subject. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, comments? Toby.
Microphone. Right, that's it. So the cost which you gave, I mean, I appreciate there's a factor of two or larger than factor of two at the moment, but does that include what does that include for instrumentation?
Yeah, it includes instrumentation also. It includes, the estimation for Munich reactor includes instrumentation, and estimation for the IBR2 do not include, because it's only the constructional cost of the reactor and buildings and everything do not include. So real cost for IBR2 should be increased, but we cannot. It's very complicated how to transfer the cost of Soviet equipment to the modern equipment.
No, I appreciate that, but what is the population of instruments that you're expecting in the first few years? So that is included
We are now considering the first set of 15 instruments, and the total amount is 32 beamlines. So 15 instruments at the first stage, and the total amount of the beamlines will be 32, with a number of instruments rising from this number of beam lines, close to 32, maybe slightly more.
Yeah, I must confess that I haven't looked through carefully on the white paper, but of course, a new source also requires modern instruments as well, and the cost, as Shane will tell you, of 15 instruments is rather more than you might imagine.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure it translates into a different cost.
If we will take ESS, it will be 300 million euros.
Exactly.
15 instruments, okay. An average.
But I guess one question which I have is that, of course, with a pulse reactor, I mean, one of the issues is the background, and the implications for that for instrument design and shielding design and so on. I mean, are the lessons of what works well and what doesn't work so well being transferred across? I'm thinking of things like the inelastic machines particularly, or reflectometers, where background is really actually crucial for being able to make any sort of advance in science.
The background is the crucial issue which we are considering, and we are trying to resolve this issue in cooperation with our general designer. So we are supposing set of choppers, and we are trying to make our design, and we are forcing our design to have possibility to allocate
the chirpers as close to the reactor, to the moderators as possible, in order to suppress this background from delayed neutron size. At the moment, I cannot, our general estimations, our general requirements for the designer was to have the background from delayed neutrons at the level less than 4%, if I remember correctly, 4% from the average power. And the designer have demonstrated they are able to make the real construction with such a level of background without any chopper system. So 4% it's an open facility, and we have possibility to suppress the background to lower level with the chopper systems.
Sorry, Dennis, this is my last question, I promise. I guess the question is has a background level been benchmarked against the state of the art at other reactor sources like the ILL, and also, what can be achieved at a spallation source is way, way down, but has that figure been benchmarked against the scientific imperatives as opposed to what can be reasonably achieved with a pulsed reactor? That's a very important question.
I completely agreed with you. So we will have to publish our estimations and our design parameters, and we will have for benchmarking. I think we can try these solutions at IBR2, because IBR2 is very similar system for our future advanced sources. It's also reactor based. We have delayed neutrons in our source, and what we are planning for the period until year 2030, until we will start real construction of the source and production of the equipment, we are planning very rough experimental and prototyping work for the future components of the instrumentation for the new source at IBR2. And the question of the background, I can prove that will be one of the most serious topics which we will have in our consideration until this period.
Thank you very much. We have time for one more urgent question, otherwise we will jeopardize our coffee break. So, Pavel.
Sorry, just for Joe. How many dollars we can get for ruble? Please discover the secret.
Sorry? How many?
How many dollars we can get for 1 ruble of Soviet time?
I can tell you. It's open information. That's not a secret. You can visit the official webpage of Russian Center. I can tell you. 57 kopecks. 57 kopecks per US dollars.
So
it's the current rate, not current rate. The currency rate from November of year 2019, when I took these numbers from 57 kopecks per 1 ruble.
So, more seriously, sorry. could you tell in very short words what is the advantage or difference of IBOR 3 with respect to IBOR 2?
I can tell. One order in average flux density and one order in peak flux density. So 10 to 14 average neutron flux density on the surface of the moderator, and more than 10 to 17 the peak neutron flux density on the surface of the moderator.
So this means that the continuation of the pulse is the same?
Approximately the same, 200 microseconds.
Thank you very much once again, both for the presentation and for the questions. And let me call the next contributor. He will be Denis Kozlenko. The main results of instrumentation development and scientific research in the field of condensed matter at the IBR2 reactor in 2019. So, Denis, the floor is yours.
Good morning, dear colleagues. Today we'll discuss main results of instrumentation development and scientific research in the field of condensed matter at IBR2. Here you can see the layout of our experimental complex. In last time, we have increased in the number of instruments for our research from 11 to 15, Now it includes 8 diffractometers, 3 reflectometers, 1 small angle neutron scattering instruments, 2 inelastic neutron scattering spectrometers, and 1 radiography and tomography instrument. These instruments are used for fundamental and applied research in the fields of nanoscale physics, physics and chemistry of functional materials, complex liquids and polymers, soft condensed matter, in applied research for structural characterization of different functional materials of technological importance, non-destructive control of residual stresses and internal organization of bulk materials and products, texture analysis of different materials, including geomaterials and constructional materials. One of the trends in development of neutron scattering instrumentations in the leading centers is development of instruments for research under extreme conditions and advanced pressure range. Here at IBR2, we developed recently DN6 diffractometers for studies of materials under high pressure. It is dedicated for high pressure research in the extended pressure range up to half a megabar, so it's 50 gigapascal. Simultaneously, it's possible to apply low temperatures up and down to 4K. And combination of high intensity of our reactor, advanced detector system, and diamond anvil cells used for pressure generation allow to significantly extend high pressure range in our research. So far, we reached the pressures of 1/3 of megabar, 35 dpa, so you can see examples of some data. And further roots of upgrade of this instrument is development of the neutron guide system. As a first step, in 2018, we replaced the 7 parts of our curved guide with natural nickel coating by focusing parabolic device of 7 meters length. Here you can see how it looks like. And these are profiles of neutron beams starting from the sample position and on distance of it. In total, after this upgrade, we get a function gain factor of about 6 times. And if you compare to older diffractometer for high pressure, we have multiplication factor of 35 times. And next step, which has been realized during last year, but it will be continued this year, and upgrade of the remaining part of this curved neutron guide, which you can see here. It will be replaced from natural nickel coating of reflecting index 1 to index of m equal to 3. Activities are in progress. Our calculations have shown that this replacement should result in further increase of intensity in average in factor of 2. This is for relatively long wavelengths above 4 angstrom. And for shorter wavelengths less than 2 angstrom, it should be factors above 5 and up to 15 and 20 times. This curved part of neutron guide is being fabricated by Swiss Neutronics company. Fabrication should be completed by the June of this year, and we expect that this guide will be installed in work position in summer times, and we will gain another 2 times in intensity. That will be our further step in achievement of half a megabar pressure range this instrument is designed for. Another activities in development of this instrument is upgrade of detector system. We have 2 detector banks, and one of them installed for forward scattering and 45 degrees. Currently is not well optimized from point of view of collimation. And now we designed a new bank, as you can see here, with a better collimation. Test model of this detector, you can see, has been fabricated and tested. It consists of 6 separate helium counters, and the total model will contain 16 such models. So in total, it will have 96 separate counters. It will extend our displacing range in experiment up to about 14 angstrom, which is important for studies of magnetic materials. And we expect that this detector module will be fabricated by the end of this year. The creation of GN6 allowed us significantly extend our research program, and the achievable pressure range has been extended by about an order of magnitude. And I show you here the result of one of the recent experiments. This is a study of magnetite iron oxide iron-3O4. You might know that this material played important role in both development of human civilization and also in our fundamental knowledge in the field of condensed matter physics. It was actually the first magnetic material humankind has become familiar with, and ancient people made first compasses, for example, from MagniTET. Now it is used in broad range in technologies. In condensed matter physics, it was a model materials for development of some concepts of metal insulator transitions. As you can see, there is a Viary transition at low temperature of this material. This is a transition at low temperature from semi-metallic to semi-insulating state. And also it was one of the first materials where charge ordering phenomena in condensed matter were discovered. Recently it was shown that this material also exhibit anomalous behavior of magnetic, electronic and structural properties at high pressures around 25-30 GPa. And the driving forces and nature of this phenomena were not observed while all these properties were changed drastically. It was definitely established that there is a structural phase transition in this material from initial cubic structure, inverse spinal structure, into more complicated orthorhombic structure. You can see here it's changed quite a lot. You see arrangement of these structural units, octahedra and pyramids rearranged in post-spinal orthorhombic phase. And we performed combined studies. In Dubna we performed neutron diffraction at high pressures up to about a third of megabar, and they were supplemented by synchrotron MESBAR spectroscopy experiments performed in the European synchrotron radiation facility in Grenoble, France. And from combination of these experiments, we withdrew the total phase diagram of this material, including structural, magnetic, and electronic properties. We placed the points on the structural phase diagram, which selecting these two phases, especially at low temperature. We obtained the symmetry of magnetic order in high pressure phase of magnetite. You can see it here. It's close to antiferromagnetic but with different values of magnetic moments of two subvortices with opposite magnetic moments, so it's ferromagnetic. Also, we found the pressure behavior of magnetic order and temperature, established that spin crossover phenomena between high spin magnetic state of iron 3 plus ions and non-magnetic low spin state occur only in the vicinity of the ambient temperature. And so we constructed the full phase diagram from this result, and it was become possible only after DN6 started operation. And the relevant paper has been published last year in Scientific Reports Journal. The high-resolution 3D fractometer recently has been upgraded in 2017. A global modernization of this instrument has been done. A new 3D chopper has been installed. A neutron guide, ordinary neutron guide, has been replaced with a focusing guide with parabolic focusing. As a result, we have received a total intensity gain factor in about 2.5. And this allows to open new qualitative research areas at this instrument. In particular, a new research field of materials with giant magnetostriction has been started in collaboration with MISIS National Technical University. Especially alloys with such composition, iron-free gallium, has been studied. For composition of iron, about one-third MACGEN magnetostriction receives maximum, and it appears that features of change of thermodynamic conditions play an important role in the formation of the properties of this material. In particular, real-time experiments at HRFD diffractometer has been performed on the studies of so-called isothermal phase transition in these alloys for iron composition around optimal for giant magnetostriction, about 27-28%. Then these alloys were heated at temperatures around 405 and 470 K. Complex phase transitions with time has been observed from one ordered cubic phase, shown here as D03, to the final another ordered cubic phase with another atomic arrangement, shown here as L12, via sequence of intermediate disordered phase, cubic and tetragonal A2 and A1 phases. And data collection times were made with a step of just 1 minute, and this was only possible after modernization of high-resolution 3D fractometer. From these experiments, microscopic mechanisms of the formation of structural properties were obtained, and this information is important for understanding of the nature of these giant magnetostriction effects. And a relevant paper has been published in Dr. Crystallographica Journal. At another 3D stress diffractometer, another RFID factometer. Recently, a radial collimator has been installed, which allowed to select GOG volume of less than 2 millimeters, and also loading machine. And the activities of the last year has been mostly focused on further development of the detector system. The additional models of detector Astra are being fabricated to increase the solid angle of this instrument. And another activity in development of this diffractometer is the development of new 3D chopper. It is of different design than used in high-resolution 3D diffractometer. It's shown here. It is fabricated under contract by Airbus Industry Company. You can see design of this chopper and calculated transmission function. And this fabrication should be completed approximately in the middle of this year, and we expect installation of this chopper during current year. You can see here one of the recent results of scientific research performed at Fourier stress diffractometer. It is used for studies of residual stresses and strains in material products and construction materials. Here the object of the study was the magnesium alloy AZ31. The magnesium alloys combine the lightness and very good strength properties, so they are very prospective for use in aftercar and space industries. But their drawback is not very good plastic properties and not very well formability in design of different products from them. And so technologists use different routes how to overcome these problems, and one of the approach to change the direction of deformation during fabrication of products from these materials. And model experiments on this alloy has been performed at FSD. The loading of model samples has been changed from initial compression to tension in special loading machine, and a complex process on this deformation has been observed. Twinning of crystallites inside these materials, which affects significantly the diffraction peaks intensity. And this compression has been changed by reversal tension. The reversal untwinning processes has been started. And all these results, as you can see, in irreversible and nonlinear change of lattice parameter. In particular, you can see that deformation at compression and tension develops in different manner. And this data will be further used by technologists. And these experiments were performed in collaboration with the Technical University in Krakow. A complementary instrument to Fourier stress diffractometer is a Fourier stress spectrometer. It has been moved a few years ago to our laboratory from GKSS Neutron Center after its closing. And its components some time ago has been installed at the 13 beam line of our reactor. And it appears that the neutron guide was of not satisfactory condition, and decision was taken to prepare new and fabricate new mirror neutron guide for FSS spectrometer with an index equal to and linear convergence. These activities has been finished in the last year. You can see here elements of the new neutron guide and new incident neutron spectrum. It has been shifted to shorter wavelengths, and as a result, the displacing range available for experiment significantly extended towards shorter wavelengths. As you can see now, we see many diffraction peaks, and it was previously seen nothing. And it's very important for research of construction of materials, because most of them have quite short lattice parameters, so this spacing range is important. Regarding resolution, it's a little bit larger than at FSD. It's about 0.6%, and FSD it's about 0.4%. And so this instrument will be complementary to research at FSD. It will be also useful for studies of different correlation techniques, and also for testing of different equipment for neutron scattering. Important modernization has been made at channel 10 of our reactor. At this channel, we have installed reflectometer Garain's, and it was planned to split this channel into two, and a second channel to create a new instrument for small angle and imaging studies. Originally, made splitting system was not good for final design parameters of the new installation of this new small angle spectrometer, and it was replaced by a combination of two neutron guides. They were installed in the ring corridor of our reactor close to the moderator. They are equipped with a neutron chopper. And previously, the neutron choppers for experiments and grains were installed in the experimental hall, and the re-establishment of the necessary components of the instrument were able to decrease the deflector angles and to achieve significantly the range of incident neutron spectrum by about 30%. Here you can see old spectrum and new spectrum, so it will be a new quality of grains diffractometer after this replacement. The neutron chopper now still stay in open position because they need some works on adaptation of software, and soon we expect that they also will be in operation, and this should result also in improvement of the background condition and improvement of the reflectivity range in the experiments. Also, there is a project realized at Grains Diffractometer on development of methods of in operanda studies of different materials and interfaces for electrochemical energy storage devices, and the special electrochemical cells for such experiments at Grains has been designed and fabricated. Here you can see the basic components of the cell and its installation at the reflectometer. In this project, many experiments are performed, and one of the recent experiments are dedicated to the studies of effects of highly concentrated electrolytes on the processes inside of model contacts of solid electrodes and liquid electrolytes, which are used in real energy electrochemical energy storage devices. You can see here the experimental setup. It appears that quite complex interactions take place in these systems, and actually so-called solid electrode interface is formed on the contact of solid electrode and liquid electrolyte, and it has a two-stage arrangement. First stage is organized by the product reaction between a solvent and electrolyte, and second stage is deposition of the lithium from the electrolyte. This deposition takes form of non-uniform inhomogeneities, which significantly affect the working parameters of this electrochemical energy storage devices. And from the experiments, it has been shown, if we use concentrated electrolytes, we have significant improvement of quality of the interface. So we can increase the life of such devices by using concentrated electrolytes. And this data are used by electrochemists for improving the designs of electrochemical energy storage devices. And here you can see a couple of reference for papers where these results were published. Regarding a new small angle scattering and imaging spectrometer, which will be installed at the second beam line of the splitted channel 10, you can see here parameters, expected technical parameter. It's specially designed for research with the cold neutrons using a cold moderator, so it will be complementary to the UMO setup we used. And the basic components expected for detector are either fabricated or in fabrication. Regarding beam splitter, I have already told you. The bender unit already has been fabricated and tested. You can see here spectra obtained before and after bender. The intermediate part of the neutron transport system are in fabrication in Miratron company, and it should be completed approximately in the middle of this year and installed in lock position. Detector tube, this is this unit where detector will be installed, it's vacuumed. It's in fabrication, the contract has been concluded in the last year, and fabrication should be finished in 2021. So not yet a well contracted unit is the detector, position sensitive detector. One of the possible suppliers, the Rater Stax company, is discussed, and the model position sensitive element now is on the tests at our laboratory, and actually this week these tests will be done. And in the case if they will be successful, we hope that also this position-sensitive detector also will be contracted, and afterwards all the basic units of this instrument will be fabricated, and on the horizon of next 3 years we can complete this activity and make basic configuration. Это Emory Effectometer. Recently it was a special project dedicated to development of isotope identifying effectometry technique. It was finished in 2018, and in the result of its realization, three channels for collection of secondary radiation, including spin-flip neutrons, charged particles and gamma quants, were created. In last year, the final test with gamma quant channels has been performed, and also results with studies of model nanostructures has been performed to understand what the combination of all these three channels will provide. It appears that in addition to information about distribution of scattering clearance density and magnetization distribution along different multi-component nanostructure, it's possible also to get information by combination of all these three methods on distribution of isotopes of different isotopes in the layers of the studied nanostructures. And so it will be qualitatively extend our possibilities in neutron reflectometry experiments. At another reflectometer, Reflex, installed at 9 channel of IBR2, a model setup for spin echo small angle neutron scattering instrument is being developed. It employs the concept of linearly growing magnetic fields, pulsed magnetic fields. Here you can see results of first test experiments. This operation, then you change the time, periodicity time of the magnetic pulses, you can get such plots in polarization and get information about studied objects from analysis of the dependence of polarization as function of spin rotator distance. But it appears because these magnetic coils employ very high magnetic fields that they are overheated in very short time, that it becomes necessary to change the coil design because they are overheated. You can see here the modeling of the temperature distribution. And based on this modeling, a new cooling system has been developed for these coils. Now it's in fabrication. And after modernization of these coils, we expect that this setup will be operational and we continue these experiments regarding CSUNS development. At the UMO small angle scattering spectrometer, the activities on development of new incident neutron beam collimator, modernization of detector system and sample environment were continued. This instrument now is very popular among users and it takes first place in the number of collected proposals because it combines high neutron intensity and unique dynamic Q range, which is very high. And here I show you one of the recent results of experiments, a study of structure organization of novel nanocomposite materials, which involve formation of arranged array of magnetic nanoparticles of iron oxide inside the ordered matrix of nanoporous silica with such term SBA15. It has such a porous channel which form such hexagonal units, and using some technologies, it's possible to place inside the magnetic nanocomposite and prepare ordered nanocomposite array. And full set of structural parameters of such materials has been withdrawn, including characteristic size of the magnetic nanoparticles inside, the distance between the porous channels, and the characteristic sizes of this channel. And the paper on this study has been published in Scientific Reports Journal. At inelastic neutron spectrometry NERA, last year the activities on the replacement of the ending part of the neutron guide from the natural guide, coated guide, to the focusing device with a guide having chem index of 5 has been finished. As a result, the average gain factor has been increased in 1.5 times. It will be a special report today on development of inelastic neutron scattering spectrometer at our reactor, so I will not go into much detail. It will be subject of another talk. And I will switch to the final point of my presentation is spectrometer of neutron radiography and tomography. It was a replacement of CCD chip inside the two-mirror curved CCD-based detector. After several years of operation, previous chip has been damaged, and it was necessary to replace it. This has been done successfully, and now we restore our detector system to full capability of its operation for further experimental research. One of the recent studies we performed at radiography and tomography instrument is a study of phase content phase composition and properties of Chelyabinsk meteorite. You might remember that in February of 2013, the extraterrestrial body has been fallen in Chelyabinsk region, and it was the second largest explosion, meteorite explosion, after Tunguska explosion in 1908. And study of such objects and its phase composition and different properties are very important for modeling of the interaction processes and the damages prediction. You can see here the piece of this meteorite we have got from our colleagues in Chelyabinsk. We performed a set of experiments by different methods, including neutron diffraction, tomography, Raman spectroscopy, optical spectroscopy. You can see here example of neutron diffraction patterns. In addition to already known phases of minerals, plagioclase, protopyroxene, and olivine, we were able to find a new phase of so-called mineral camasite, which is the iron-nickel alloy in the body of this meteorite. And this has been only possible because we studied the bulk sample of this object. And here you can see the 3D reconstruction we made from tomography data, and these pink spots are distribution of the metallic grains of iron-nickel alloys inside the meteorite body. And the relevant paper has been published in Springer Nature Applied Sciences Journal last year. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Denis, for this impressive presentation of really very nice results. But before giving the floor for questions and comments, let me ask you whether with all these very nice results, you think that there are absolutely no problems. You know what I'm hinting at? A year ago, this PAC had a recommendation, and it reads, the PAC also expects critical evaluation of each particular instrument and potential for improvement to be presented at the next meeting of the PAC. Furthermore, scientific results and instrumental developments should be presented in terms of this critical analysis. Now, maybe it was an impossible request. I don't know. Do you really have the feeling that there are absolutely no problems either with the instruments or with some topics? Then, okay, then we will just congratulate. Or do you have another opinion?
Of course, we have modernization plans, and I just have shown you ongoing activities. We are planning to get, of course, the best as possible from our parameters. For instance, for DN6, I shown you that we have modernization of neutron guides. And so we have modernization potential, which I have shown you where we are now at the present time on our plans for further developments of the scale of present year. Our idea is to get the best we can from our reactor and use its advantages to develop our instrumental base. So it's ongoing processes, and we from time to time reevaluate our opportunities and our steps. So we just keep in with the parameters and modernize it and keep on the current achievements in the field. And in addition, I should say that during this year we will reconsider our team, and in summer PAC it will be talk on the conclusion of the team and reopening of another team. And that report I will concentrate on our plans for further development on the scale of next year, and you will see our further plans. And also during this year we plan to prepare our internal plans for development on the 5-year scale. So of course we have problems and we are overcoming them, but I can say that now we keep on more or less appropriate state of improvement of our instruments, and we are just modernizing them, and this is a continuing processes. So we just keep on with the plans.
Okay, I see. So, Boris. Sorry. Valery.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add something to which Denis just said. I completely agree with his expression, but also would like to underline that in the frame of preparation of the new source and preparing this white paper, we will put into this document the section dedicated to the development of existing spectrometers at IBR2, because we consider the future instruments and existing instruments as a as a just continuation. And we are publishing normally every 5 years, we are publishing our plans for the next 5 years for the development of the spectrometers. And the present paper is timed as a 2015-2020. That means we have to prepare the new version of this document, and also it coincides with the reconsideration of the 7 years plan of the GNR. We are now in the middle of existing 7 years period, and we will have to make some corrections. So everything is coming to the necessity to do this work, and we will do, as Denis mentioned, for the summer session of our PEC meeting, the critical estimations and future plans.
Thank you very much. So if I understand both of you correctly, this kind of presentation, and then I think we have to revise, in a sense, our previous resolution, recommendation. This kind of presentation is meant only for a yearly immediate information and the assessment, both of the research infrastructure, I mean the spectrometers, and also the topics. That should be done separately, but we should use this kind of information. So if you agree with this kind of formulation, then I suggest to revise our previous recommendation. Any other questions or comments? Hartmut, please.
My question is, I have two more general questions. One is, what you have shown is mainly, as I understand, in-house research. Or could you tell us the contribution to outside users in what you have presented? First question. Second question, you spoke several times about mirrors. Are those mirrors fabricated in Russia, or are they all bought in Switzerland? And do you intend for the future new source or the upgraded source to install a fabrication of mirrors somewhere around?
Okay, thank you for your questions. Of course, many of the results I presented to you, this is the results of collaboration. For instance, study of magnetite, this is a joint proposal on research with the Bayerisches Geoinstitut, Professor Dubrovinsky. And actually, they synthesized our crystal enriched with the RN57 isotope for synchrotron Mesbauer spectroscopy experiments. Also, iron gallium alloys, this is collaboration of MISIS, National Technical University, with our laboratory. Regarding results of electrochemistry, this is also a cooperation between Moscow State University and our laboratory. So practically most of the results I presented you, this is a collaborative research, where we have some people doing science, and we took a joint scientific topics, which are of joint institute, and we apply our methods to get results. So they are not pure in-house research.
Perhaps next time, mention the outside users in your slides.
Okay.
That you get an idea what the preparation is, really.
Yes, thank you, it's important. And regarding fabrication of super mirrors, our recent practice is to order the ready components from the well-established companies like Swiss Neutronics and Miratron. But of course, if you fabricate new mirrors for the new instruments, I know it was some initiative to buy the special deposition of special equipment for preparation of these mirrors to our laboratory. Maybe Valery Nikolaevich will comment. So I think it was discussed, but I'm not sure. Was it maybe Sergei? You will comment on this.
Yes, Professor.
At the moment, we are not considering establishing of some facility, some enterprise for production of the super mirrors.
So it was discussed, but I'm not sure where some decision has been made.
Because there are some discussions about establishing such a facility at St. Peter, at Gatchina, near to the peak reactor. So we have to look. Maybe we will have our Russian company for production. So we are at the moment not playing this game.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm afraid we have no more time for questions. It's okay. Yeah, one more. Yes, please.
Sorry, I have a quick one. First of all, congratulations. This was an impressive account. But going back to Toby Pering's question to the previous talk, could you comment on what is now the dynamical range accessible on the revised reflectometers and small angle machines, because this gives some kind of benchmark on for the future?
We have highest dynamical range now small angle neutron scattering, which is about 90. Regarding reflectometers, I have no exact figures.
Sorry, excuse me. I meant signal strength. This means signal to noise, or
okay,
between one and, you know, the background. The Q range, this is another story, which is essentially mechanical design and six line.
Okay, now for reflectometry, we have a range of about some units to 10 to 5, I think, the best 3 more. And for reflex, it's a little bit worse, because there is another setup, and we expect it will be down in the best up to about 1 and 10 minus 5, but this is an expectation. This is the best achievable, maybe.
Because so experimentally verified is how much?
So reflectivity down to about 10 and 5 minus, approximately that range. Because we have intrinsically high background of our reactor, and very high range of reflectivity is not achievable by intrinsic features of our source. This is a drawback, of course, of our source. And this can be overcome at a new reactor source of the future.
I mean, I would like to emphasize this. I mean, this is getting where you've got some low reflectivity is actually sort of the place where you're going to be getting new science. That's going to be giving you different access to different length scales at surfaces, for example. So it's really important to actually have a very clear benchmark of what is the current state of the art, and are you going to be able to achieve that with the new source?
Okay, thank you very much. I'm afraid we have not to conclude, because we are actually something like 20 minutes behind schedule. So thank you once again. And let's continue with the coffee break. Maybe we can shorten it by some 5 minutes. Or, so 5 minutes. Within 15 minutes, please come back.